The Big Story from the Straits Times on Money FM 89.3.
The fourth day of campaigning for GE 2020. It's a week to polling day. I'm Olivia Kui.
And I'm Dylan Ng.
Now, the 10 million population figure continues to be a talking point of the election campaign for the second day in a row. At a walkabout this morning, Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat reiterated the importance of not spreading falsehoods.
Just yesterday, Foreign Affairs Minister Vivian Balakrishnan called for the Singapore Democratic Party to clarify its position on the 10 million population figure, as the claim was a key plank of its campaign. Dr. Chee's fellow SDP member Paul Tambaya said the public shouldn't trust either party, but read about the issue for themselves. Speaking during a walkabout in Bukit Panjang SMC, he added that PAP had, quote, plenty of opportunities to clarify. The Straits Times article in which the 10 million figure was mentioned was published in March 2019. Mr. Tambaya added that the fixation on the figure is a distraction from the election.
Joining us to discuss today's developments is news editor Zakir Hussain, who's leading the Straits Times' GE 2020 coverage. Zakir, let's first talk about the timing of all of this. Now, our SDP unveiled its Four Yes, One No campaign in late April. The One No, of course, refers to PAP's supposed plans to raise our population to 10 million. Why is this becoming such a talking point now and not earlier, say, when the slogan was first released, or even when the ST article was published in March 2019?
I think when the SDP launched its manifesto, we were then sort of in the middle of COVID, and I think the news cycle meant that it wasn't an issue that many parties kind of jumped on or seized upon. And even when the Straits Times article was published, we now noticed that there were some online commentators who leapt on that 10 million figure and presumably took our report out of context. I think it only surfaced and caught attention now because it's become such a prominent part of the SDP's election campaign. And the point, and when it was raised during the debate on Wednesday night, it was clear that the claims that were being made about that 10 million figure were clearly false. And I think that was why we had to clarify that in our reports as well.
Now, Zakir, do you agree with Mr. Tambaya that this has been a distraction from the bread and butter issue, like jobs, housing, our economic recovery, as well as our COVID-19 response?
I don't think so. I think in an election, voters look at many issues. Bread and butter issues, of course, are key. So are jobs and the economy. Mm. But at the same time, issues like whether claims are true or false and the integrity of candidates are also points that voters and parties do raise and surface. And I think all sides try to raise a variety of issues, you know, in their bid to win over voters. And I think that's the same consideration that voters have when they decide who they're going to vote for.
Okay, well, let's go on to something else. The first constituency political broadcast, well, that starts tonight. Now, this is a never-before-done concept. So, Zakir, what do you think the candidates will address tonight since they're given a nationwide platform, albeit with a three-minute time limit?
Well, I think it's a three-minute time limit for candidates in a single seat. But in a GRC, a team of five candidates have up to 5 minutes. Have up to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's three times the number of candidates in the seat. I expect they will raise a number of issues. I think the primary focus would be constituency issues, you know, how they plan to improve conditions and facilities in that estate or in that GRC. But at the same time, I think they're mindful also that voters do look at national issues. And I think some of these can expect to be raised, at the constituency broadcasts. So, for instance, issues like jobs or issues like unemployment benefits. Mm. Smaller parties that are contesting a number of seats will use their constituency broadcasts to kind of make these points and make their pitch about these policies of theirs to explain why residents should vote for them.
Now, we've seen so many ways the parties have used the online platform to get their message across. Do you think the job they've done so far has made up for the fact that there aren't physical rallies?
I think so. In fact, I think they've been, having watched online rallies and the online activities for the past 3 days now, I think all parties seem to be getting the hang of these online rallies. And in the past, where, for instance, a speaker would have, a speaker speaking at two of his party's rallies on the same night would start at 8 p.m. At one rally, And then when he finishes, would rush to be one of the final speakers at another rally. With any rally, he can address both audiences at the same time. And I think parties have also taken to different formats. So you've got parties doing fireside chats, doing talk shows, doing what they call straight talk sessions, doing webinars. And, you know, I think even in a non-COVID election down the road in future years, I think we can expect this online campaigning to be more or less a permanent fixture of elections here.
Well, that was our news editor, Zakir Hussain. Zakir, thanks as always for coming on the show.